was attracted to the Panthers because they were speaking the language I needed to speak at that moment in time, as was Malcolm X, as was Stokely Carmichael, i.e. a radical language, not about turning the other cheek. If somebody wants to knock me about on the basis of the color of my skin, I am not going to turn the other cheek. I've never been a turn the other cheek kind of person. I've always, you want to slap me? I'll whoop you down.
An angel I asked for, an angel I got you, a woman lover, yet you're not, you're an angel, angel to me. You must be sent from heaven, from where else could you be? You're not from the earth, oh darling, can't you see? You're an angel, angel to me. God sent a girl for me to love. You sent to me from heaven up above. If I should ever lose you, if you should ever go, there's just one thing that I want you to know.
Welcome back to Napalm Nanny and the Shack. I am your host, the one, the only Napalm Nanny. And as I'm sure you guys all know by now, my undying love for counterculture and all things that go against the status quo will always hold a huge part of my heart. So the Black Panthers are a perfect example of all that. And the Black Panthers, originally dubbed as a Black Panthers Party for Self-Defense, was founded in 1966. And the group came about as a result of numerous injustices and the assassination of Malcolm X and the murder of an unarmed Black teen in San Francisco by police. So this led community members to organize and to come together, where they drew inspiration from Marxist ideology and outlined the political party's views and objectives in a 10-point program. And the 10-point program consisted of ending police brutality, employment opportunities for African Americans, and land, housing, and justice for all. But the media demonized the political party, portraying the group as radical thugs. And despite the demonized image, the Black Panthers continue to create community social programs. And one program that was a complete success was the free breakfast program for school children. And that was established in 1969. Some might argue that the move to start this program was done to soften the image of the party. But this program to feed children aligns with their 10-point program. And so between 1969 to the early 1970s, the Black Panthers fed thousands of hungry kids, and school officials immediately reported positive results due to the program. School children were no longer falling asleep in class or crying due to stomach cramps, but it was met with resistance as J. Edgar Hoover, the head of the FBI, absolutely hated the party. So they increased their efforts to dismantle the party by telling parents the food was infected with venereal disease and even going the length to raid the program and destroy all the food. One program in Chicago had police officers raid the church to smash and urinate all over the food supply. And, well, I think we all know the result of all this. We now have a free breakfast program in schools, and the police department really hasn't changed much. And I can go on and on with this history lesson, but here's this week's playlist. Enjoy.
If I was the sun way up there, I'd go with my love everywhere. I'd be the moon when the sun goes down, to let you know that I'll stick around. Tears. You could go swimming when you're near. I'd be the rainbow when the storm is gone. Wrap you my colors to keep you warm. My love is
天的欢聚，我也想起经典的故居，人生就像在台上演戏，一会儿悲一会儿欢喜，不解药就像不晨曦。我想起昨天的欢笑，我也想起今天的悲意，一切就像小说的布局，有喜有悲有离奇，不解药就像不够刺激。黄金时期，每个人有不同遭遇，过去的虽然是绮丽，又何必深思悔意，过去的就让它过去。我想起昨天的欢笑，我也想起今天的悲意，一切就像小说的布局，有喜有悲有离奇，不解药就像不够刺激。黄金时期，每个人有不同遭遇，过去的虽然是绮丽，又何必深思悔意，过去的就让它过去。
And much like how the Black Panther Party was founded on fighting for justice and advocating for the Black community, the Brown Berets came about due to the same kind of injustices. So the Brown Berets formed as a result of police brutality in the Latinx community, with historic incidences such as the Zoot Suit Riot and the illegal deportation of Mexican Americans during the Great Depression. And before I dive deeper into the Brown Berets, I wanted to further explore one particular injustice during the Great Depression. So President Herbert Hoover initiated a national program by stating American jobs for real Americans, which I don't have to tell all you nerds out there that that is code for get rid of the brown folk who aren't quote unquote real Americans. So the program included passing local laws forbidding government employment of anyone of Mexican descent, even to legal permanent residents and citizens. So major companies such as Ford, U.S. Steel, and the Southern Pacific Railroad colluded with the government, telling Mexicans they would be better off with their people, laying off thousands of employees. Then in February 26, 1931, Los Angeles authorities planned a raid at La Placita. And the point of the raid was to arrest and or deport brown folk regardless of status. And this would repeatedly occur at parks, hospitals, markets, and social clubs, ultimately deporting around 1 million Mexicans. So it's historical incidences like this that led to the formation of the Brown Berets. The multiple injustices that the Latinx community experiences at the hands of an individual, the police force, and politics led to the communities in the Southeast to organize and become heavily involved with politics aimed at reforming the education system, creating accessible healthcare, and exposing police brutality. So the literal Brown Beret stood for far more than a fashion statement. It stood for a community mobilizing against injustices. And as a result of this mobilization of the Brown Berets, it led to more hiring of Latinx educators, bilingual classes, ethnic studies, and El Barrio Free Clinic. And before I get carried away with history, here's the rest of the playlist. Enjoy!
Amor, si yo Thank you.
that's all for me this week, guys. And I really want to highlight how grateful I am to have all these wonderful conversations with you guys. I am loving how politically aware we've become and all the stories, music, and all the random jokes that you guys share with me. It really is the highlight of my week or my day. So thank you for that. And if you're ever curious about the sources I use, or if you want weekly clues to an episode before I release it on Saturday, I'm on Twitter and Instagram under Napalm Nanny in the Shack. And with that being said, till next week, I am your host, the one, the only, Napalm Nanny. Stay safe out there, guys.